happy and glad. Outside of that, he's just going on tight. And that is fixed, which everybody hates to go up against. And it is a part of the program of the devil, you understand, to separate, you understand, races, nations, things of that kind. Knowing that down in Alabama, Arkansas, what we might describe as the Deep South, you understand why, they're a little touchy. You know what I mean? And that's the thing, tradition that has grown among them for many, many years. And I caution Dr. Jones that you just forget all about it. This is not a civil rights movement. This is a divine right. And there's nobody that can obstruct or hinder you so far as the divine right is concerned, but Satan himself. So go right on into it and let the folks know that everybody, the gospel is to be preached to all nations. And we are living now in the final conclusion of this age. And it behooves everybody, makes no difference who you are and where you come from, and just forget about the race and the nationality. Just forget about that, all of you. Blow it all out of your mind and preach the gospel to every preacher. Doesn't make any difference about where you are, down south or up north or out west or anywhere. Just preach the gospel.
All right.
And if you do that, then you can just rest assured that you are going to get in trouble.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So be prepared for that.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to go through here without some obstruction.
Right.
But you must be prepared for it. So, I cautioned him very strictly about that. And one of the reasons, things that brought it to my attention was right to the next door to where he lived was the White House. And he had had some meetings in his home. And he had not extended them an invitation to come over and be in the meeting. And so that brought it vividly to my attention. And I said, well, no, we are not going to have that. You have your aims and objectives here in school. You read them since I've been here on Sunday. You see, and you say that in every meeting. So then now let's don't tolerate, let's don't advocate by our actions. You understand? Nothing of that sort. Invite everybody. We would just soon invite Governor Wallace in. And it's much intended for him, this it is for everybody else. And as you know, that is what I have told you ever since you have been known. And we don't intend to have in this school nobody that has any racial prejudice or anything like that on the official board of the school. We don't want mom. And the reason why we don't want them on there is because the gospel is to be preached to every creature.
Right.
You understand? And that's a universal thing, you understand? As the scripture says, the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. Mm-hmm. And all nations shall flow into it. Again, it says there in the 21st chapter of Luke, 24th chapter of Mark, which we just read right on past and don't pay no attention to it, you see. It says, like he sit upon the throne of his glory, and all nations would be before him. You understand?
Right.
And he would judge all nations according to their works. And now if the kingdom of the devil is universal, understand, what do you think about the kingdom of God?
Okay. All right.
See what I mean? So then, we have to be very careful about those things. Now, there's one or two other things I want to mention to you about. That is Little Rock, Arkansas. I think we should have some report on that. I went there. Dr. Dewey McCoy. And, of course, he hasn't got just exactly straightened out there to do anything much. He arrived in Little Rock sometimes after Dr. Jones had been to Alabama. So we got in there on the Thursday, and he was living with his sister and brother-in-law at the time. And we stayed in the motel. My brother Benny and I were together. They wouldn't let me go by myself, and so they sent him along with me. He come as far as Little Rock, and when I couldn't hear, like he went on back home. But anyhow, on Friday, after we arrived that Thursday, Dr. McCoy moved into a house. I call it an emergency, and he couldn't get all of his furniture in there. And my brother and I, we tried to help him get a pathway through and unwrap the bed and search one thing and another, and we finally got it together. And it's kind of out in the country, so they didn't use natural gas out there. They had butane. And so they shut off the gas and had to change the burners on the stove. So then that was on a Friday. Saturday we went around there and tried to get things together so that they could continue on. And Dr. McCoy works on the base, the military base, and he didn't want to lose any time there. That left his wife, my brother, and I to try to do the best we could straighten out things. And of course, I call myself helping. The thought that I wanted to express to you there is on a Sunday, went to work and we had the meeting there. That was the first meeting that we had there. Well, we had one on Friday and he had some 8 or 10 people there all together on Friday night. So I would say that meeting was refreshing. And then on Sunday, we didn't have so because the people that were in favor of the meeting and those that were to help him and so forth and so on, they have come to the knowledge of how important it is for them to be here together. So some of them had other commitments and so, you know. We went on from that. Well, I preached hard about the people. And this gas business thing, as I told you about, had been shut off, and the man turned it back on. Turned it on in the hot water, and so I contracted my heavy coal last season, just before my departure from Little Rock, and so that's how I happened to be sick when I did arrive, and I was sick too, and had a very hard time. But all in all, all the adventures, I would say that they are great. Now I'm going to talk about you. I just give the report to the rest of the bar to a preacher. I leave the preacher to this. Now, your conduct and your behavior, though I was absent in body, I was present in spirit. And I want to let you know that I knew at all times what was going on here, who preached and what the priest about, so forth and so on. Your attendance and everything, I knew about it all the time. So I do want to commend you for sticking together and your perseverance, what you're doing, my ass. Because I did realize, and I didn't do no worrying about it even, I never worried one bit about it. No, indeed. No worrying at all. And why? Because I knew that the brethren that was here were fully capable and qualified to tell you the truth. And they would tell you at any expense. And even if it cost them their lives, they would tell the truth. And so I just didn't do any worrying about it at all. Of course, you will always have anywhere. Here, Ohio, Birmingham, Little Rock, other places, you know, some stragglers, you know what I mean? They're dropping, the dropouts, deadness, the unconcerned, and so forth and so on.
They're going to always have that seat. So, all in all, well, I'm happy and glad to be back with you and to talk to you about the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. Now, for a few minutes, I'd like to talk with you about the scripture lesson just read, just for a few minutes. One of the things that keeps that 20th chapter of Revelation ever before me is when I had the vision and the revelation, I saw that in the vision. I saw it just like it was and understood it. Now, so with me, I'd just like to tell you in terms that you can understand. There's no need to tell you something that you can't understand. Leave a thing half cocked or something like that. Now, this judgment that we're talking about, this final judgment that we're talking about, I want to tell you that you are already in it.
Right.
I want to tell you that this is the judgment. And we have been for quite some time. Now, I know there's somebody jump up and say, well, I don't believe that. Well, it doesn't make no difference whether you believe it or not. It's so anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Paul says, what if some don't believe? Does that make the word of God well effective? You understand? Then another thing about this whole thing. Let me tell you this real softly. And I hope it thunders against your conscience to such an extent that it will awaken you. Whether you accept as of now or reject that which is being taught here in this group, down there, boy. You don't have faith down here, do you?
All right.
You're going to have to ascend. As we sometimes say, we don't want to cram nothing down nobody's throat as of now. But I'm telling you, it will be crammed down your throat. Like or nobody.
Okay.
Believe or disbelieve.
Right.
Now that, now you think that thing mm-hmm. over. Think it over seriously. And it's happening now. Now one of the things that made me think to say that to you is this. There is a lot of doctrines that are being taught that futuratively are apt to find that Messiah will sit upon the throne of his Father. Then all nations will be gathered before him, and that he will separate the wheat from the chaff. That, and many of the doctrines, including the Roman Catholic, is called the millennium.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the millennium comes up after the rapture, or the rapture. Now, what we mean by rapture is this. You see, that's yet to come. See, the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
And when the rapture comes by then, all of these that are living and walking around here now, and they will be caught up to meet the Lord in heaven. But they will not prevent those which are asleep, the righteous dead, that are asleep in the grave cemetery. You understand? That Now, all of this is future. It hasn't come to pass as yet, according to their teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And then that's called the rapture. But the rest of the day, that's the first resurrection. But the rest of the day, they didn't live again until after the 1,000 years were expired. See, now I'm down in that 20th chapter of Revelation.
Right.
But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were expired. And then he shows up again, Messiah. That's the general and final judgment. See, when all that are in the grave, the wicked, which is the rest of the dead, you understand? Why, then they will be gathered before his throne, and he will judge them. Now that is called the second resurrection.
Right.
But now, if you notice, when we read here out of Revelation, and would you open your Bible for a few minutes and read down there? I want you to bring about, I think it's the 56th verse.
But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished.
Mm-hmm. Now listen. Yeah, but the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. All right.
This is the first resurrection.
Now this is the first resurrection. Read.
Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection.
That has part in the first resurrection. Read.
On such. The second death has no part.
Now, I didn't say second resurrection. Now, let me explain that real quick so you can see through it. Messiah did not say that I am the resurrection.
Right.
Which means he didn't say I'm the first resurrection and the second resurrection.
No.
He didn't say that.
Uh-uh.
He said, I am the resurrection. Let us have to say God. I am
Okay.
I am the life.
Okay.
Just there. I am not the truth.
That's right.
But the truth.
Okay.
And he didn't say I am the ways, means, committee. No, not that. I am the way.
All right.
Understand. Now he has to be a whole lot. Ways has to be a whole lot of truth. Has to be at least two resurrections and all. You understand? In order, the way that people have got.
Right.
Now, this confusion is all over the face of the earth.
Yes.
Now, I want to point out, I want to pinpoint two. I want you to look now at the 27th chapter of Matthew and the 51st and 2nd verse. Now I'm talking about the first resurrection. And I want you to see what it's all about. And I want you to see how that the world, with their kind of mind, miscomprehension, understanding. And then I want to tell you about this rest of the day. See, now I'll be done in a few minutes, so don't get excited. Let some of the brethren get up here. But I do want to get this thing before you, see. And the reason why I want to get it before you is because we want you to be resurrected now.
Yeah.
See, don't be dependent on something way down here.
That's right.
And this thing of dying and going to the cemetery, you understand, or sprouting wings and flying off somewhere, you understand? We want you to know that every bit of that has come from a carnal mind.
Right.
All right.
You understand? And the Christendom the world over has failed to see it. And there's another thing I want to mention here. I've been thinking about it even when I went to Ohio and around the journey there, I mean. And that's this. God said, are you listening?
Mm-hmm.
Said, I will. See. Said he was going to do this. Destroy the understanding of the prudent, or the wise, and bring to naught the understanding of the prudent.
All right.
Okay. Said he was going to do that.
Okay.
See. Now, he has done that.
That's right. All right.
Now, that's what the trouble is right now. Now, let me show you that in just before you read. Let me show this to you. I never see this chart out on here. This one right over here.
I want you to look at it. All of you, if you've seen it before, look at it again. You know how dogmatic I am about a thing. Now you see, all of this natural, even the physical creation and everything, all of the natural, even the physical body, the natural body in which he was manifested, all of these carnal ordinances, First Tabernacle stood only in that.
Okay.
They didn't have no ordinances at all except carnal. Now when we say carnal, we mean natural, we mean physical, we mean literal. You understand? Things that you did with your hands, things that you tasted with your mouth, things that you ate and digested, you understand,
right,
assimilated, and all those various different kinds of things. All of those organs. You understand?
Right.
Now, that was given to Israel. They are now nailed to the cross. Now listen. And then when you come out over on this side over here. Now that messed up the part.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't seen no more of it since. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't seen not a thing of it since. Now that's the time and the age in which you are living right now. And
right.
That's what we're talking to you about now. And that's what the people are saying about the first resurrection and the second resurrection. You understand? They're looking at it in a literal sense. They're looking at the cemeteries, you understand? The tombstones flying out someplace, you know, and understand? I mean, you understand that? And then they're going to go in there and dig up. Everybody in there, and you understand? And then they're going to be raised up, the righteous dead, you understand? And the wicked dead, you understand? They're all out there together, you understand? And these dead people, or these live people, you understand, that's walking around here dead. You might miss that. See, then they'll all be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Now, that's what's being preached and taught as of now. And it's universal, it's
mm-hmm. right.
Now, the real truth about it is hid from the wise and improved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's revealed unto babes.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And what they're talking about futuritively is as of now.
Right.
See, you're being resurrected now.
That's right.
The first resurrection, you remember that the Apostle Paul had some trouble with Alexander there.
All right.
On account of that. You see, he withstood the Apostle Paul in saying that the resurrection was already past. You understand? When it's going on now, you understand? You understand? And now you must be resurrected psychologically and spiritually, sitting in your seat right where you are.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Now that's what they call a Christian. You understand? You understand? You got in the church there, you understand? And all that kind of idiot. You understand? You give the preacher your hand, and you understand? And you're on your way to heaven. All that kind of thing, you see? And that's the way the thing is taught, you understand? Well, every bit of it is wrong. And now it's all universalist ever.
Mm-hmm.
All over the place. They do not understand. And now, for you to get some real food, you're going to have to come to the place where it came from. Now, see, now there's no need of being
what I might say, hard-headed about it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you're not going to get some food down yonder in the hall there. You've got to come up here, you understand, where the sheep are being fed. There's no need of you opposing it. I've already done made that thing, you see, or you're going to have to come to it anyhow.
Right.
Like I know like. Right. Believe I know believe. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to do you no good. Although we do know that there are going to be many people lost. Many of them lost.
Mm-hmm.
And then the suffering and all of eternal degradation. See, it's almost inconceivable to mortal consciousness.
Right.
You understand? As Messiah said there in the 24th chapter of Matthew, there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You're talking about sorrow. Somebody's all upset because I lost my mother. You understand? Somebody's all upset because I lost my mother. That's right. And this is all people. This is according to the fit. The understanding you have to hold them. You understand? And this smelling salt, you know? But look, let me tell you something. This thing that we're talking about is far more egregious than anything that's ever happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
Being lost.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Now, there's no sense in you being lost. As Peter put it, he said this. And real clear. God is not slack concerning his promise. That's his end of the promise. But is long suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to truth. Now let God's love. Now let me pinpoint that too. I told you that you were already in the judgment.
Right.
And what is going on as of now, see, is the long suffering.
Right.
See? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
As John said in Revelation, he gave space or time for you to repent.
Right.
In the 24th chapter of Matthew, he said again that, you understand? About that space of time that was given for you to repent. And that unfaithful servant. You understand what I'm talking about? When it looked like they had prolonged or delayed his coming. You understand? And he began to smite. You see? And as the people are standing around looking up in the sky and talking about the day is coming. You understand? They don't see that he is a quickening spirit. You understand? They don't understand that he and you are one. They don't understand that. They miss out on that like they do everything else. Understand? They don't see. Now, when the cover is taken off the thing, when the cover is taken off, then you will see that what I have told you is right.
All right.
Let's say the revelation of the Messiah, to make myself real clear. See, those who believed according to the scriptures, you understand, they will be instantaneously changed from a mortal to an immortal. And it will be done by that spirit which is within you.
That's right.
So if the spirit is not within you, then you are a hopeless case.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? You will have something to weep and to wail and to moan about. You understand? Now, God gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. So now, in this 25th of Revelation, I want you to consider this as of now. See, not wait until way down there to somewhere, you understand? That's what it's called, rapture. Understand? I want to make myself real clear. By the rapture will be going on, you understand? And the dead people out there in the cemetery, you see, they'll be the righteous, they'll be caught up, you know, with the righteous living, you understand, and meet the Messiah in the air, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the dead, they didn't live until the 1,000 years were finished. Now I'm coming down to my text now, you see. See how I'm getting down to it?
Right.
See? And I want to show you the difference. Matthew 27:52.
And he came out of the grave after his resurrection, and he came to the whole city, and stood unto many.
I have to do better than that. I can't hardly hear it here myself. So if I have to read it, I won't hear it.
And he came out of the grave after his resurrection.
Now, he came out of... Well, suppose you get to the...
Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain.
Now, behold, the veil of the temple, you see, was rent in twain. Now, when you say that, a lot of people don't even know what the veil of the temple is.
Right.
See, because they haven't heard nothing about the temple.
Right.
Only just in a passive way, like the Masons or Oddfellas or something else like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a profound knowledge of what the veil of the temple is. You see, they don't have the knowledge yet. Now, that means that as we show here, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. That is to say, that it was completely separated.
Right.
Just like you would rip it out.
Right.
Right.
Between the holy place and the most holy place. Ripped all out. See? Now, if you could get that far as of now, you understand? You could see that that veil or the flesh was
That's right.
ripped out. You understand? Let me see if I can clarify that. See, now this veil conceals the most holy place.
Right.
You see? You couldn't see into the most holy place for the veil of the temple.
Right.
The high priest was to go through there once every year. You understand? On the 10th day of October. And it's all the day of the temple. You understand? Once a year. But now when the Messiah said the veil of the temple was rent in twain. That is, it was completely torn out. Now you remember he told him, he said, now, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, the folks, listen. He said, stand in the holy place.
Uh-huh.
He said, now he has died in his blood and the light that run out there, you understand, that was for the purification and the cleansing, see, and the redemption of mankind. You understand? Then he would stand here, you understand? Now he died now, just like you see it on that chapter. See, and now he's resurrected. You see, and so this veil of the temple is just torn completely out. Now, God abode in the, between the wings of the cherubims in the most holy place. You see? Now, what I'm telling you about is this. See? That you are now, with the veil of the right, you're right in the presence of
God. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
That's now, that's what I'm telling you about.
Right.
See? You get it now?
Yeah.
You know good and well, if we took this giant down, you could see what would be in there.
Right.
You understand? Well, it took down. You understand?
Right.
And now, God said he dwell between the wings of the cherub. You understand?
Right.
You see? In the most holy place. You understand? Now, you understand that now. So now, when I come up and say that you're in the judgment as of now, somebody says, well, he don't know what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Get the point? See, now the veil of the temple is rent in twain. And after his resurrection, then many of the bodies of the, well, you better read that.
And the earth did quake and the rocks rent.
That's right, the earth quaked and the rocks rent.
And the graves were open.
And the graves were open.
And many bodies of the
saints. And many bodies of the saints.
Which slept arose.
Which slept arose.
And came out of the graves.
And came out of the graves. What?
and came out of the grave after his resurrection.
After his resurrection.
And went into the
holy
city.
Wait a minute. Hold. You see, now he's the first fruit. He is the first one. You understand?
Right.
That ever died. Understand? And resurrected from the dead.
Right.
That does not die anymore.
Right.
Yes, Lazarus died.
That's right.
You understand? And was resurrected.
Right.
And not only that, Elijah raised the widow's son.
Right.
You understand? And all like of that. You understand? Adam, he died. You understand? And was buried. But he is the first one that ever died, that is resurrected, and never dies no more.
That's right.
Eternal life. You understand? And Paul looks at it and says, you brought the light.
Life.
And immortality. Through the power of Yahweh to raise Joshua the Messiah from the dead.
Okay.
You see what I'm talking about? And now, after his resurrection, after, not before, we always might depend upon his word, understand, and show that he is the word. See, Adam was the first, Adam back in the Garden of Eden was the first one. You understand?
Right.
To commit sin and die.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Right.
Yes, he died before Abel.
Okay.
That's right. He did. He died before Abel was born.
Right. Go on.
He died right there.
Okay.
And he walked around in a physical body. Now he has 30 years all the fellows. You understand? And then that it was manifested outward.
Okay.
Taking that physical body to the grave.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
Do you understand? Yeah,
I explain
things. I like to explain them so you understand. So you can see where you are. See? Now then, after his resurrection, many bodies of the same. Right?
Sure.
They come out of the grave, and then they run.
Went into the Holy City.
What is the name of this Holy City? Jerusalem. All right. And what else?
And appeared unto men.
All right. Read.
Now when the centurion and they that were with him. Saw the earthquake. And those things that were done. They feared greatly, saying. Truly, this was the Son of God.
Now you see, they put him to death because he said,
"Right."
You understand?
Yes.
Now I ought to say something about that. You see. Now you see, that's what they put him to death for, was because he said that he was the Son of God. Now, if you allow me to, I'm trying all the time to get off this floor. But I like to explain things as I go along, you see. Now, that's what they put him to death for, was because he said that he was the Son of God.
Right.
Now,
man didn't make sunshine. He may not let it shine on me. I'm glad. Yeah. home.